Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find that bulletin that you received when you walked in there is a set of notes that you can follow along with us this morning. And we'd encourage you to do that. They'll be on the screen as well. But if you'll find them, we're going to begin a brand new series today. We're going to be doing this for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And we've entitled it A Wonderful Expectation. A wonderful expectation. You see, you and I as Christians live with a great expectation. We live with hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. We live with a wonderful expectation. In the weeks ahead, we're going to look at how do I live with this expectation in spite of defeat and failure? How do I live with it in spite of doubt? And how do I live with it when I deal with death? How do I deal with this and live a life that's filled with a wonderful expectation of what the future holds for me? This morning, what we're going to look at is a wonderful expectation in spite of disappointment. Now, the very first Easter, the very first day when Jesus Christ was alive, was a day different than you and I are experiencing today. When I got out of bed this morning, hey, it's Easter, all right. When you got up, He's alive. But when the disciples and His followers got up on that first Easter Sunday, they didn't get up with that expectation. They got up with disappointment. We thought He was going to be the one. We thought He was the Messiah. We thought He was going to be the Savior. And they woke up disappointed. They had put all their eggs in one basket, and they were disappointed. They walked on the road to Emmaus, a few of them, and they couldn't figure it out. Why? We thought, we heard, we believed, it didn't happen. What's going on? They lived with that disappointment. You and I have to deal with disappointment in our lives. You ever been disappointed in somebody else? Expected them to do something, they didn't do it. Expected them to be something, they weren't that person. Disappointment in a job. Disappointment in life in general. Disappointment in family. Disappointed in God. Why am I here? What happened? This isn't what I thought would take place. This wasn't what I expected. How do I live in the midst of disappointment with a wonderful expectation in spite of it? Well, let's look at the Easter story, and let's get some help today of how you and I can deal with this, because we can see what Jesus did with the disciples. We can see what He did to deal with their disappointment in Him. The first thing I need to understand is that God has prepared me when I'm disappointed. God's prepared me when I'm disappointed. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus is preparing His disciples. He says to them, from then on, Jesus began to tell His disciples plainly that He had to go to Jerusalem. He told them what would happen to Him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed and He would be raised on the third day. But Peter took Him aside and corrected Him. Now, you know it's not a good thing when you're correcting Jesus. You know, you just kind of see that built in, don't you? You know, this isn't going to go well. Heaven forbid, Lord, He said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. You see, when we see things just from our point of view, life is disappointing. But when we look at it from God's, it changes everything. And notice what Jesus was doing. Jesus was preparing them for what was going to take place. He told them plainly, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be rose from the grave. All this is going to take place. But they didn't get it. Here's what we need to understand. There will never come anything into your life that God hasn't prepared you for. Now, sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't get it. Just like the disciples, He told them plainly. Did they get it? No. They woke up that first day going, oh no, it's over. What's happening? What's going on? Why is this taking place? When he had told them plainly what was going to happen. God prepares you for the things you're going to deal with in life. And when the disappointments come, God has already begun working in your life to prepare you for that moment. There's another place where Jesus was preparing his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 1. He says, "Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, when everything's ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know where I'm going and how to get there." Now, he's been very upfront with them, hasn't he? He's told them this. They should know this. And look at the response. "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We haven't any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Now, if I'm Jesus and Thomas there, I just want to slap him. Right? Come on, Thomas, how often do I have to tell you this? How many times do I have to repeat this? How long does this have to go on? But notice what Jesus does. Jesus told him, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus told him plainly what was going to happen. He told them what was going to take place. You know what happens? A lot of times we don't get it because we don't want to get it. We don't want to have to admit that it's there in front of us. And Jesus said, "Look, this is the way it is. I'm going. I'll be coming back again. And here's how you get there. You get there through me." Now, this is something a lot of people today do not understand. In the past couple of weeks, I've had a conversation with someone, and they found out I was a minister. That's always interesting when that happens because everything changes. Suddenly, their conversation cleans up, and everything just is so much better. They're so nicer now, then the attitude goes away. And they ask, "Well, what church are you from?" I said, "Faith Assembly." And they said, "What's that?" Here's the line. "I don't go to church, but I respect all religions. I think they're all just the same." Well, unfortunately, that person does not believe the Bible. Because Jesus very clearly says in this passage that I just read to you in verse 6, the only way to get to God is through him. I get to God by believing that Jesus Christ lived, that he died, and his death was the payment for my sins. He paid the price for that. That he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, and by rising again from the dead, he conquered death, he conquered sin, he was victorious. And when I choose to put my faith and trust in him and live for him and not for me, I get to the Father. Now, you see, there's a lot of people, "Well, I think if you can be a good person, God understands." Oh, he understands you're a good person, but that doesn't get you to the Father. "Well, I grew up in church." That doesn't get you to the Father. "Well, I belong to this organization." That doesn't get you to the Father. "Well, what about there's a whole lot of other people?" That doesn't get you to the Father. Jesus says very clearly, very plainly, he's prepared us for this, right? He said, "Look, if you want to get to God, you have to come through me. No one gets to the Father except through me." And so we have to understand, only one way. God's prepared us. And many times, we don't know we're being prepared. We don't know that God's working in our lives along with us to help us, to direct us, to provide for us. So when that moment of disappointment sets in, we're prepared for it. And just as Jesus prepared his disciples, he's also prepared you. Whatever you're facing in your life, whenever you're facing something in your life, God has prepared you for it. Maybe you didn't catch it, the disciples didn't. Maybe you didn't understand it, the disciples didn't. But God has prepared you. Secondly, when I'm disappointed, God has proof for me. God has proof for me. Now notice what Jesus did throughout this day in helping his disciples get over their disappointment. They still wrestled with it. They still struggled with it. But he gave them proof. Not only did he teach them, but now he proves it to them. John chapter 20, verse 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus has been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Well, because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they put him." She's still looking for him being dead, isn't she? She glanced over her shoulder, saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned towards him. She knew the voice, didn't she? She recognized the intonation, and she exclaimed, "Teacher, Rabbi." He proved to her he was alive. He gave her the proof that she needed at that moment. He was willing to step up and say, "Here I am. Believe in this. You can't believe in what I've taught you. You're not going to grab a hold of what I prepared you for. But let me take it a step more. I'm just going to prove myself to you." John chapter 20, a little later in that chapter, verse 24. Jesus is still doing this. One of the disciples, Thomas, again, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." And 8 days later, the disciples were together again. Notice, they're still struggling with this. A week gone on. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound of my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas explained. And Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." Now that last sentence in that what Jesus said applies to you and me, doesn't it? Thomas, you believe because you saw me. I gave you proof. Blessed are those who haven't seen me, but still believe. That's called faith. Faith says, I haven't seen it, but I believe it. I've read it in Scripture. God gave us His Word, didn't He, as proof. This is the truth. You can read this, you can see this, and I'm giving you proof that this is who I am, and this is what I'm able to do, and if you'll know my word, and if you'll follow my word, you'll have all the proof you need to deal with the disappointing times in life. He gave us the proof through Jesus Christ. He says, "You watch my life, you watch how I live, you see what's going on, and if you'll follow me and understand what I came to do, you will be able to deal with whatever life has come your way." Folks, I don't care how much you think God needs to do for you. If you're not willing to believe Him now with the proof that He's given to you already, you're not going to believe Him if He gives you more. And you need to come to that place where you understand God has already proven Himself. And I have all the proof that I need. Jesus Christ lived on this earth. He was a real person. History declares it. He was the Son of God. Him on the cross and being risen from the dead declares it. He is given proof. And you and I need to accept the proof that He's given. Don't be like Thomas. "Well, you know what? I'm not going to believe it unless I see this and unless I see this and unless I see this." Jesus said to Thomas, "Look, you believe because you've seen me. But there's a group of people coming after you that they need to understand, they need to believe, even though they haven't seen me, they still know me." And in the midst of disappointment, understand something. God has given you all the proof you need. He is real and He is alive. And this day proclaims that. And we live in that and understand it and accept it. Thirdly, God has peace for me when I'm disappointed. God has peace for me when I'm disappointed. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. that evening on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the resurrection day, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. What's his first words to them? Peace. Peace be with you. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see. He showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Peace, peace. If there's one thing that people are clamoring for today, it's peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, a peace of knowing it's going to be okay. And in the midst of disappointment, what's the one thing that you need? I want some peace in this. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why this is happening. I expected something else, and now it's not that way. Probably not going to be that way. I am disappointed in this whole thing. How do you expect me to have a wonderful expectation? Well, because of what Christ has done. And in the midst of all of that, he wants to give you peace. Now again, let me make sure that you understand peace. I've given this to you before, but let me just say it again. The peace that the world talks about comes from the external things. I'll get peace when all the kids are gone, when my spouse is quiet, another room, or somewhere else. When I don't have any tension, when I don't have any problems, when the bank account is fine, when everybody's okay, nobody's giving me grief, I can have peace. I don't know about you, but as I've gone through life, I've learned that peace doesn't last very long. The kids always come home. You know, the tension starts again. Finances tend to go here. It's just a struggle. But you see, when Jesus talks about peace, he's not talking about that kind of peace. He's talking about a peace that comes from the inside. It says that no matter what's going on externally, you can still have the peace of God. You can still have peace in you. You can have peace with God, which comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry around guilt. You don't have to try and make excuses. You can just have God's peace. You can have peace with yourself. God's forgiven me. I'm not guilty. I get to live in peace no matter what's going on around me. And Jesus tried to tell his disciples, look guys, you're afraid of the Romans. You're afraid of what's going to happen. You don't know how things are going to turn out. You're confused. You're disappointed. Peace. Peace. And in the midst of your disappointment, Jesus wants you to have peace. Peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, here's what Jesus said. I am leaving you with a gift. Wow, it's a gift. You don't have to earn it. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. I just explained that to you. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 16, 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus was very honest with us. On this earth, you're going to have trials and sorrows. You're going to have problems. You're going to have disappointments. But notice what he says. You can have peace in me in spite of all of that. You can have peace now if you want that. And when Jesus came to his disciples in the midst of their disappointment, what's the first thing he says to them? Peace. Don't be upset. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I give you peace. In the midst of the disappointments of their day, Jesus offered to them peace. In the midst of the disappointments in your life, Jesus offers you peace. If you'll take it. It's a gift, remember. You have to take it. Next, God has power for me when I'm disappointed. God has power for me. John chapter 20, verse 22. Notice what Jesus does while he's with the disciples. He breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Right here, we see the shift between Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, you lived by the law. You kept the rules. You offered the sacrifice. You did what you could do. But now in the New Testament, now no longer is it about regulations. Now it's about a relationship. And Jesus says to his disciples, you need the Holy Spirit. And you see, when we decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ, his presence comes and lives in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God in us. And he comes and lives in us. And when he lives in us, we have power available to us. And Jesus recognized that his disciples were going to need power in the days ahead. And in the midst of their disappointment, he says peace to them, and then he says, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. You're going to need my presence, God's presence in your life to be able to deal with what life brings your way. 2 Corinthians 13:4. Although he died on the cross in weakness, he now lives by the mighty power of God. We too are weak, but we live in him and have God's power. We have God's power. Now, just let me tell you something. God is never impressed by your power. You don't impress God by what you think you can do. He's never impressed by your self-sufficiency. I can handle this on my own. You understand, don't you? That does not impress God. In fact, when you start living that way, God feels sorry for you. You know, I don't have God's power until I get rid of my power. Now, we get kind of wimpy with this power thing. Most of you know, but some of you don't. I raised 5 kids. Here's what I learned was going to happen when they're about somewhere in the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old range. One day, you're going to say to them, I want you to take out the garbage. You take the bag out of the trash can for them. You tie it for them. You set it on the floor for them. You have the little handles that you show to them. Pick this up and take it out to the trash. And here's what's going to happen at some point in time. I can't. It's too heavy. I'm not impressed by that. Secondly, I know it's not true. I've seen them lift all kinds of things much heavier than that. You see, they didn't want power then, did they? There's sometimes in our life when we're kind of stubborn people. You know, it's probably not about you today. It's probably that person sitting next to you is really stubborn. You know. And sometimes God says, here's my power. And God goes, I can't. You know, I don't need it, God. Or other times, I'm disappointed. And God says, I got power for you. And God goes, we go, oh, God, no, you don't. I want to stay in my misery. I want to stay in my pain. I want to hurt. And I want to hurt others. Yeah, I'm disappointed, but, oh, God, I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. I can't face this. I'm not going to make it through this. And God says, look. I've got all the power you need. You want it or not. Our call, right? Hello? Our call. And God says to his disciples, look, I'm going to give you all the power you need for the days ahead. Here's the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you. And God says to us today, I give you all the power you need to face the disappointments in life. Here's the Holy Spirit. He can live in you. And he will be sufficient strength for you in the days ahead. Receive his power. Notice what Jesus said to them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Will you receive it today? Because here's what the writer in Philippians chapter 4 tells us. I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. I can do everything with the help of Christ, the presence of God, the Spirit of God alive in me, who gives me all the strength I need. So when you are in a place of disappointment, God's power is available to you, just as it was to His disciples. And you and I have everything we need to do everything. Final point. God gives me a plan when I'm disappointed. God gives me a plan when I'm disappointed. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Notice what He did to the disciples. Remember, He told them, He prepared them. He said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come again. Here's how it's all going to go down. Here's what's going to transpire. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Notice, some of them still doubted. We're going to deal with this doubt issue later. Some of them still doubted. Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and earth. How's He been given complete authority in heaven and earth? Because He conquered death, hell, and the grave. So He now has all the power in the world, in the universe. Therefore, because I have that power, go and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And He's going away. Here it is. Here's the plan. I've done my work, now you do your work. I've given you all the authority you need. I've given you the power that you need. Yes, you were disappointed. Yes, some of you are still confused and still question what's going on. But in the midst of that, I've got something for you to do. I've got a plan, and I'm going to stick with the plan. And the plan's going to come about because God does everything He says He's going to do. And He tells them, I want you now to go and to make disciples. I want you to go to teach people. I want you to tell them about what God has done for them. And you need to understand this. I'm with you all the time. Wow. Well, Pastor, that's for them. Does God still have a plan for me when I'm disappointed? Oh yeah, you bet He does. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. His unchanging plan, notice, hasn't changed, not going to change. This is it. If you don't like His plan, there isn't a second one. You can't look at Him and go, what's plan B? There is no plan B. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave Him great pleasure. What's His plan? He wants us to be His children. He wants us to be a part of His family. He wants us, how do we do that? Accept what Jesus Christ has done for us. Accept His work in us. Live our lives for Him. He wants us to be a part of that family. That's His plan. That's why Jesus came. That's what God's up to. Verse 8, so we praise God for the wonderful kindness. Notice that wonderful kindness. It's going to appear again. He has poured out on us because we belong to His dearly loved Son. He's so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to His good pleasure, and this is His plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. At the right time, He will bring everything together. At the right time in your life, He will bring everything together. At the right time in this world, God will bring everything together. God is never late. His timing is always perfect. But God's ways aren't ours. We tend to want to set the rules, and we tend to want to give orders. But you and I don't get to set the rules. We don't get to make the plan. God's already made it, and we don't get to give the orders. God's in charge, and we're not. And so God says, look, here it is. Are you disappointed? Good news for you today. God isn't finished. God isn't done. God will work everything together for good to those who love Him. And so for His disciples on that first day, that Sunday, the first day of the week, they were there in disappointment. And God had prepared them. God had taught them. God had told them. He gave them the proof that they needed. He offered to them peace and power that He said they could have. And He said, I've got a plan, and this is the way it's going to go. And in your life today, what disappointment you're dealing with, here's what I know. There's great news. You can have a wonderful expectation in spite of disappointment because God has prepared you for it. God has given you the proof that He is who He says He is. You can accept that. He's given you the peace in the midst of it all. He gives you the power to deal with it all. And you can trust Him because His plan is in operation. And He does not fail. So are you disappointed today, just like the disciples? Great news. Jesus Christ is alive. And because of His resurrection, you and I can still have a wonderful expectation in spite of disappointments.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.